Welcome to the Reconnect and Awaken podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Murphy, and I'm so happy to have you here. Reconnect and Awaken is a podcast all about helping you navigate your soul journey, explore the unseen, and all things spiritual to connect deeply to yourself, your purpose, and your heart, all the while providing a little extra encouragement to live life as your most authentic self so you can share all of your amazing, unique gifts with the world. Thank you so much for pressing play today. I am so grateful to have you here. Be sure to subscribe to the show to be notified of new episodes as soon as they are released. You can also find me on Instagram where we can connect and talk more at sarah.murph. Now let's get started. Welcome back. So happy to be back with you guys for another Sunday. I love you. I'm sending out so much beautiful energy to you. I hope you're just really enjoying whatever season you're in right now. This week, we have a wonderful guest on the show, Jamie Moore. Jamie and I connected through the Soul Detective group that I'm part of through Natalie Vancier. And you guys know I've been really big into the amazing power of community lately. And Jamie and I meeting is just another example of that powerful community. So I was a guest on her podcast last week, the show That Does Not Belong to Me, which is linked in the show notes. And I wanted Jamie to come on to Reconnect and Awaken as well, because she has got such a wonderful energy, outlook on life. She is a multi-passionate entrepreneur. She co-owns a marina with her dad. She owns a yoga studio with her friend, and she's a solopreneur with her own personal yoga and coaching business. And one of the things that she really loves on top of that is human design. So in this episode, we talk about Jamie's own path to becoming an entrepreneur and creating a life and career that is designed around the parts of her life that matter most to her. As well, she has really used human design to shape her career and her path. She's a 3-5 manifesting generator. So for all those MGs out there, her journey and the way her life looks is going to light you up. I know it. In this episode, we talk a lot about doing the inner work and what that work is. We also talk about how Jamie's life took a slight pivot in July 2022 when she was diagnosed with follicular lymphoma. But she hasn't let that stop her from creating a life that she's truly passionate about. And we really talk about how she worked through that diagnosis and continues to keep living her life in a really vibrant way. And we also get into the new book that she's writing and really the process behind actually writing her very first book and how she brought human design in that to create a framework that has been super helpful. I think you guys are just going to love this episode. Jamie is such a bright light. She's got such a great energy. If you would like to connect with her, you can on Instagram at Jamie Jessica. That's J-A-I-M-E. And you can connect with her online at jamiemoore.com. And I've linked both of those in the show notes. So let's dive in. Enjoy. This week, we have the wonderful Jamie Moore with us. I'm so happy to welcome you, Jamie.
I'm so happy to be here. It's fun to be on this side of the interview this time.
It's always like fun to be a guest. And I was a guest on Jamie's show a couple weeks ago, which I'm very excited to. I haven't heard the episode yet, so I'm really excited to listen
back to it. Usually it comes out Wednesday morning, but she said she was running a little behind today, my editor. So it will be out probably by the time people hear this one, for sure.
Okay. Well, hopefully later today, I'll get to listen to it. I'm so excited for it. And Jamie is the host of That Does Not Belong to Me podcast for anyone who wants to go have a listen. But Jamie, why don't you introduce yourself and let everyone know a little more about your work and what you do?
It's so fun to have to do this, you know, every now and then, just so you can actually check in with like, who am I? What do I do? What is important to me? And I actually had to do this recently with a group of grade 4 students. And that really makes you like break it down as to like, who you are and what you do. So yeah, super happy to be here. I am coming to you from a small town outside of Montreal, about an hour outside of the big city. And I for a big chunk of my life was part city, part country. I was living this seasonal life. I thought I was going to be a teacher. That's what I went to university for. My mom was a kindergarten teacher for 37 years and like passionately so. And my dad was an entrepreneur. He worked in a big corporate company and then bought this boat shack in 1980. So then started building this business slowly but surely. It was like a dream of his that no one really supported at the time, but that is still running and that I co-own with him now. So that's, yeah, that's one element of my life. So always seasonally, I was coming out every summer to this small town of Knowlton to run the marina. At first, I was just a waitress. Actually, back in the day, I was like showing people how to use little fishing boats and sending them out on canoes and kayaks. And yeah, there was always these like grown men being like, oh, you don't need to tell me how to work this 10 horsepower. And then next thing you know, they'd be like, I don't know, cutting off their anchor and like all these things. And I was like, you probably should have listened to the 14-year-old girl, actually. So that was
big. Yes, you need my advice. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. So that was a big component of my summers. And it's funny when I think back that I'm like, was that something I always knew I wanted to maintain, that I wanted to do every summer, you know? And my dad never put that sort of pressure on me. There was always kind of the out, but it was something I kept coming back to. And really from a place of the heart, like it is a family business. And I literally grew up there. I grew up playing with the ducks and, you know, eventually cleaning toilets and whatnot. And so I think it's like I accommodated my life to fit that, because not every job that I would take would work that I could get, you know, 3 to 4 months off in the summer. So yes, I was going to become a school teacher, which I would have been very good at. And that could have worked, you know, it would have been a bit challenging at the start of the season and the end of the school year. But partway through my teaching degree, I realized that I just didn't want to teach in a typical school. And I hold teachers at a very high regard. It's not because I think that job is, you know, anything below me by any means. It was just not the direction for me in the end. And I ended up coming across this pamphlet that was for a yoga retreat place in Massachusetts called Kripalu. And there was a program called Yoga for the Special Child. And at this point, I had switched to psychology. So I was just like on this windy road already of like, I'm interested in people's behaviors. So let me learn more about that. And I started working with people who have special needs. I was volunteering for this program and really loved working with that population. So I took that direction for a little while. I was working in homes, kind of just caring for people with special needs. And then when I saw in this pamphlet, Yoga for the Special Child, it was just like, okay, this is colliding kind of two worlds that I like. I wasn't like an avid yogi, but I liked yoga. I couldn't really afford to be like a member at a studio. So I started doing trade at a studio and anyways, started falling into that. And yeah, and then it led me down this path of yoga. Basically, when I reflect back, this is like 11 years now, if not more. And then there was a summer, I had taken off a summer working at the marina. And the following year, I was like, oh, I want to go back there. I think 2 years in my working life, I didn't work at the marina, but every other year I've been there. I'm almost 40. And I started working.
I love this like connection.
11 or 12, I started there. So finally, I was like, okay, I took one summer off. I stayed in Montreal to have that like city life of this, you know, in the summer. And then I wanted to go back to the marina. And I was working for this organization, the one for people with special needs. And I asked if I could get 3 months leave. And they said, you've only been here a year and a half, so you could get one month off. Like, you know, it was unionized and everything. And I was like, no, like it just was a perfect moment. Like, you know, it would have been very easy to say, okay, never mind, I'll stay. I don't want to lose my seniority. I've worked really hard and I've gotten some good positions and whatnot. But I'm so happy I took that leap. I decided to just work my butt off that summer at the marina, save some money. And then it was the following summer that I jumped into like the world of entrepreneurship. And I put myself out there as a Yoga for the Special Child teacher. One studio picked me up. I will never forget Angie from Kids Butterfly Yoga, because I reached out to so many studios. And, you know, you never forget that person that just says yes to you, especially when you're brand new at something, you know, you don't have the experience to help you. So she really like is near and dear to my heart. And then I started working. Eventually, I could see the need for just working in typical daycares, basically, like teaching yoga in daycares, in schools. So I kind of expanded to that. But for the first like few years, I was definitely, you know, commuting by bus an hour outside of the city to teach for an hour or two commute. You know, it was crazy when you start a gig, especially like I was mid-20s, I think, at this point, and you're just saying yes to everything. You're breaking your neck to kind of break in. Yeah. And then I would go back to the marina in the summer and be a waitress, and that's where I would make money so that I could do this other career path.
That's so fun. And I love the beginning, the early stories of entrepreneurship for everyone, because they're so interesting, the things that people do. And I'm so lucky I get to work with so many entrepreneurs in my job as an investor. And I've had my own company, and it is like the things you do in the beginning make zero sense. And you are literally just getting by. But a part of it is just even just trying to figure out what it is that you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's the fun part, is like once you do step into that, like, oh, I actually get to choose. This feels good. This doesn't feel good. And of course, there are like, again, those beginning stages where you're kind of just like sucking it up a little bit. And it's like, it doesn't feel the best necessarily. And you're still on new turf. So you're not really sure if you're doing it right the entire time, maybe still. But then, yeah. And it was really like, fast forward, I did that for, I think it was about 8 years or so. And I joined this group program, if we can get a little into the like kind of that really big pivot into the world of self-development. And I had done small little groups. Right. You know, I think I talk about the first one that I took with a coach, a past coach of mine, Robin Savage, and it was called Life Rehab. And that program was like, I don't know, $45 or something. And it was like 10 days to bring more joy into your life. And she had these little videos that she recorded. They were very digestible. And yeah, that was a real changing point for me. And I watched that recording like probably every season I would go back to that, you know, and just check back in. And that was the starting point of, that. Yeah. And it was really a special like time to be like, oh, I matter. I'm important. And then just that process of getting to know myself better, like, especially, you know, in our 20s, again, it's just this like, I don't know, piecemeal, windy road, going out, getting drunk, like all of these, you know, I don't know. It's a wild ride, the 20s.
Oh, and you go after everything, like everything seems possible still at that time. Yeah. Not that anything has changed. Everything still is possible, but the ability to do everything feels possible. And I feel like as you get older, you're like, all right, let's refine the focus a little.
I think back to things I've did or decisions I made, and I'm like, God, I was brave. It's kind of like little kids that have no fear. And it's like, we sort of, I don't know, the older we get, we're like, no, not worth it. Not worth like going skiing to injure myself, or, you know, it's like, I feel like I've regressed in certain ways, but more as a protection. But yeah, so that was a real cool starting point for me. And then around COVID time that I decided to like pivot my business. And the reason was because I had previously joined this group program. So it was 2019. And my coach reached out and she was like, I think you'd be perfect to join this group of female entrepreneurs. The program is called Stripped. And it was about stripping down your business and like recreating it, you know, almost from the ground up in a way that is super aligned. And so I was like, oh, this is crazy. We just had a wedding. Like, we don't have the money for this. It would have been the biggest investment I had made. You know, it was like, it was $6,000 or something for 6 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's all relative, right? But I don't know. There was just something. And I talked to my husband, who I expected him to be like, no, we can't afford that, which like he's never said that to me in my life. So I don't know why I expect.
You were like going him to be the parent, like the responsible adult to be like, no, Jamie, this is not the time.
Like, yeah, you're excited about it? For sure. Go for it. We'll figure it out. And not that like I make my own money, you know, anyways, he's not like the sole breadwinner that's supporting me or anything. But still, you just like, you know, you balance the idea around with the person you love. And yeah, nothing but support. So I jumped in and I really expected that program to help me develop this like yoga for kids business, like an empire of it. Like I would have trainings. I could see there was a demand for it. I was like in high demand and be like getting a name for myself in Montreal. And fast forward to, I don't even know if it was a month or two into the program. And I was like, yeah, never mind. I don't want to do this at all anymore. And I was like, I think I want to be a coach. And it was human design. It was getting my human design reading that like really created that switch for me, that created that pivot.
That's so wild. I love hearing about these journeys, but also knowing that you're a manifesting generator, right? And is it a three? Are you a 3-5?
I'm a 5-1.
It's so funny now knowing that and just listening to you tell that story of going in this direction, becoming a teacher, and then like, no, not into that, but probably actually have that teaching ability. I'm going to switch to yoga and teaching. And then you're like building the empire and you're like, actually, no, I'm going to work with adults and coaches.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what honestly, like it was just human design that, you know, the statement of if something doesn't light you up anymore, change directions, which is like great for generator energy types or defined sacrals, but it's good for anyone. Like that's where I'm like, you know, we talked about this on my podcast, but the conversation of human design, I don't think it doesn't want to box us in anyways. It's not supposed to, right? So if like a sentence or a guidance for one energy type speaks to you, it's like, well, grab onto it and use it to benefit you. And that one benefited me hugely. And it was aligned with my energy type.
Man, it's such a powerful tool for self-discovery. And I come back to it so often because you can just keep learning it in different layers and apply it to your life in different ways. And even now I'm in talks with a few people about they want to use it for their teams, like for the businesses that they're building. And I think that's such a cool, that's actually the way I really like the application of it, because I think with human design, it is this incredible tool that shows you where your gifts are. It just shows you how to approach things from a different way. And in a working environment, I think it opens up such a conversation about your natural abilities and the natural ways that you shine. I think it's a really cool way to help teams thrive together.
Absolutely, for sure. I coached a team of 3 projectors. They were the kind of the main people in the company. And yeah, that was really interesting. Yeah. But it's so true. That's kind of the point. It's like, it's to learn more about yourself, but it's really like, it's called the science of differentiation, right? It's meant to help you understand that we are all those snowflakes. We are all so unique. And often we think, which I think it often is like, my way is the best way. Why doesn't everyone just do it my way? Yeah. It's like, just we're not meant to, we're not wired to. So if everyone can just embrace their strategies or embrace their literally their energy, then it can work so well together.
Oh my gosh, 100%. And for you on this, what is the biggest shift that you've taken since human design? Besides like you've moved into coaching, you put down the yoga, but how has it impacted you like in your day to day or in your life?
I mean, that one is really huge, but I have to say it's like boundaries. It's actually, and especially more and more, the more confident I am, the more I'm owning myself and my gifts and what I like and what I don't like and what my energy is pulled towards or pulled away from is like that ability to say no when my gut says say no. And that's been the easiest way for me is just the like the sound that our gut makes, right? Like the like I get a text from someone and it's like this request to teach mommy baby yoga. And I read the text and went, and I'm like, oh, perfect. It's so easy, you know? But our mind, we overthink it. We always do that, right? We might have that reaction, which we don't listen to. And then we're like, well, no, I could use the money. And I actually have the time and like all the logical reasons why. But I've made so many, and I still get it wrong, of course. And it leads to my not self theme of frustration, right? Yeah. I love our signature and not self theme too, like frustration and satisfaction, if you're a Manigener generator. And those two to me are just like really accessible and easy ways to check in and be like, oh, what did I do? Like, what decision did I make that was not the right one? And now I'm like really, you know, kind of frustrated about it or angry about it or bitter or whatever. Not self theme is yours.
I love it so much. And I'm really like, I appreciate how much you bring it into your own work. And I think it's such a cool thing to see people who design, their career and their livelihood with human design in mind, because I think it's so powerful. It really is like blend, it merges that like purpose and livelihood.
Absolutely.
And this is where I find when, especially if you're in a period of like wanting to go through change or you're trying to shift something in your life, I find that's like a really cool place where human design can come in. If you don't know where to start, it doesn't have all the answers, but it's like, here's some experiments you can try out that might help point you in a new direction that you're going to try. And let's see where it leads you.
Totally. And you sometimes just hear that one thing, you know, like you might get an hour and a half reading. And I'm always telling people like, when you wake up tomorrow, what's the thing you remember from that reading? You know, that's maybe where you need to start, because it can get really overwhelming in human design. There's a lot to know, but starting small.
Oh my God. When I give readings to people, I like feel I'm so excited going through that. And then at the end, I'm like, I've given you so much information.
Yeah.
And I always step back and I do like a recap email of like, here's the three things that you need to like remember. The rest of it is like,
come back to
whatever.
Them. Yeah.
But if you like, if you can come back to these three things and let's set up an experiment for you to test this out in your life.
Yeah.
Like that's the, always the recap, because otherwise you're right. It's just like, I actually want to do a reading for you sometime. I think it'd be fun to like,
I would see love to do a swap. I haven't had a reading since that first one. Like, I mean, it's now 4 years ago probably. So I think that would be so cool.
Okay. Cause people pick up different things in charts.
Absolutely.
Right. So
absolutely. Yeah.
It's so enjoyable. So I love hearing kind of this journey you've taken to where you are today. And again, in very true MG style, you have yoga, you have coaching, you have workshops, and so many amazing offerings that all feel really fun.
Yeah.
Do you find it a lot to manage? Is it like natural? Like how did it?
It's very natural. If anything, sometimes I feel like I try to almost hold myself back a little bit, but not too much, because like I was told one time, and this really stuck with me, is that if you're not confused, they're not confused. So that really helped me, because I always thought, oh, if I'm always presenting all these different things, like at the well, I opened a yoga studio that I co-own, you know, a year and a half ago. And so is it online? Is it in person? You know, just, and it's like, if you are clear, they will be clear, like, you know, the audience. So that's really helped me, because I know, you know, we talked about niching the last round of The Soul Detective with Natalie. And I was very intrigued by that, because I'm so not a nicher, you know, and I think it really, like, I still need to sit with it a little bit more, because I think there's a way of like still having branches almost of a variety of things. Yeah. If I try to do one thing, sometimes I dream of that. Like, oh, wouldn't it be so easy if I just had to do social media for the yoga studio? And I could do things there, you know, that light my soul. But I'm like, I don't think I would like that. Like, I don't think that would be good for my soul.
I think you would get bored. Yeah, you get bored really quickly. I actually put a pause on some of my, like, I've had a podcast for the last few years, and then I started really digging into Reconnect and Awaken last September as a passion that I was like, I want to bring this to life and I need to figure this out. But before I did that, I actually put kind of everything down for 3 months and was just working to see, could I just do my job and like go from here? And I've never been less happy in my life, to be honest. It was really unfulfilling for me. And not that I don't enjoy what I do. It wasn't enough. It wasn't like reaching some of those places in my heart that I'm really interested to, you know, play around creatively or to, for my own self growth, right? Yeah. Like so much of building things requires your own self development.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. So to have like a free range, especially when you're like your own business, you're your brand, you know, the marina, well, are very different for me, like managing those or not like co-managing. Mm-hmm. I have my roles and stuff, but even with the marina, let's say I need everything to be bilingual, having the French and English, and there's like a little bit more, like it's a big business, you know? And the yoga studio is a little bit like, well, we have our community, so we're speaking to that community. So I can, you know, I'm pretty good at doing that. But then my own business, I get to talk about whatever the hell I want. So that's where it's really fun.
And that's what and when you talk about all these different branches, that's where I find like that confusion doesn't set in, because when it's you.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like your interest, your natural enthusiasms, then I get stuck in this too sometimes, where I feel like I have to paint the steps of like how I got to here, but I don't have to paint this. Like it's me, it's just happening within me. And I love almost the dichotomies within humans, that we can be both things or we can be multiple things. And that is natural. And when it exists, like I find as humans, we often try to put ourselves in a box of like, describe what we do, who we are, our thing. And it's like, that isn't, and it doesn't work. And we don't have to do that, because as humans, we carry these different interests, and it's sort of beautiful how they come together.
Yeah, for sure. for sure. We're lucky when we have that freedom. And I'll just share, if you don't mind, the next stage. I just mentioned like opening the yoga studio. We did that in the summer of 2022. And this was another human design led decision, I would say, because it was very instinctual. I met someone who had the idea of doing it, and she had put together the business plan, and she found a location that was for rent, and someone connected us and was like, you two need to meet each other. And so, and I'm writing a book right now, and this is in the spleen section because I'm doing it like based on the energy centers, even though it's not a human design textbook. It's just being guided by that. But I'm talking about like that instinctual knowing of something, even if it, again, yeah, doesn't make any sense. It's another intuitive center, right? And at the time we were supposed to, when I looked back on my calendar, we met for coffee on something like July 16th. And then we had a set viewing to see the studio space. It wasn't a studio before. It was like an antique shop, but to see it on like July 20th. And then we had planned to have a trial class on a class on July 26th to see if it could, you know, work, if the neighbor upstairs wouldn't be bothered, that sort of thing. And so it was all just going so fast. And then on July 26th, I had recently had a biopsy because I had this lump on my neck, and I got a call that morning from the clinic with the results. And they said, can you come in this afternoon and can you bring someone with you? And so I messaged my new partner, or not even then at the time, Val. And I was like, I think we need to cancel tonight's class. Like, I think I'm going to be getting some pretty big news, which in the end it was. I was diagnosed with follicular lymphoma. And I was so like, I was obviously like shook by that news. I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't have all the answers, but I was really like gutted to not be able to open the studio. Like, my doctor literally said, maybe you shouldn't sign the lease on a place right now. And I was like, oh, first of all, that feels like a bit of a death sentence. But I think she was just trying to be cautious because we didn't have a lot of answers. Yeah. So that was like a crazy moment. And then once I found out a little more about my diagnosis, which that it's chronic, it's something I'm going to have forever, it turned into a bit of a watch and wait situation because I wasn't in any pain at that time, which also was like a weird thing to wrap my head around, that it was like, okay, cool, there's cancer living in my body and I'm just going to carry on. Okay. All right. But it really did become that a bit, where it was like, okay, I just need to carry on. I'm not going to let this, even though it's a pretty big thing, is like, and thankfully Val was like, sure. Even though, you know, I had a lot of friggin' medical appointments. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, blood test next week. There's a lot that shakes things up a little bit. And she was ready still to jump on board. And I'm so grateful to her for that, because the well has been like such a healing space for me throughout this whole time. It's like the age of my cancer, you know, which is weird to say, but it's like it was meant to come into my life right at that time.
To be the thing that helps walk you through the whole process.
Yeah. Yeah. That community there, like they needed us and we both needed them too. It's a really special place.
That's so beautiful. And how did you handle, like, how did you even start to wrap your mind around a diagnosis like that?
Crazy. I mean, it's been a roller coaster. Like, I've since undergone treatment because I was getting these like lumps in my jaw and my neck that were quite uncomfortable. Last winter was rough. Yeah. And so I did undergo a bit of chemo for 6 months from September to January. And it was a very, like, I call it like a chill chemo. Like, I didn't lose my hair and I was only a little bit sick. But I have to say, I think something that's important for everyone to know is start doing the work. Like, we call it the work, but that stuff that I started doing like 4 or 5 years ago helped me when this diagnosis came to not get that huge slap in the face that it could have been, or like, you know, slammed to the ground could have been. It's like, and I don't want to sound all like enlightened, but it's like, I had already been waking up. You know, I had already been realizing how precious and important life is. And this just made me realize like, oh no, for real though. Like, okay, now can you really walk the talk of all of this like woo-woo stuff, healing stuff that you've been doing and sharing? And so that's been really cool in a way. And then to just share from that place of like, this is really hard. And like you said, it gets to be both, right? It's really hard. And I can also find like so much joy. And it's not trying to be that toxic positivity or anything, but honestly, I have days where I mope for sure, but I'm like, I don't want a life like that. And I could if I want, like, so I choose otherwise.
But it's also, like you said, it's how do you keep living with it and keep living your life?
Yeah. And not in denial, you know, like it's a very present thing, and it's not everything about me, of course, but it's a piece of my life and my story that, you know, and I don't know if I think like everything happens for a reason, but I kind of do. I'm still like the verdict's out still, but I do think it plays a role in my story and it's there. So why am I, I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to, like, I never had the urge to say,
yeah,
fuck cancer, like so many people say, and I get it because cancer stole in so many people. But for me personally, I don't feel that hate or anger of like, why me?
Right.
I just feel like, okay, like, what are we going to do about it? Like, we're going to really enjoy life as well.
Just listening to you talk about it right now, obviously some of the work has worked for you and been a support because you have such a, your mindset around this is incredible. And even through the things that you share on Instagram, like there's zero denial in what's happening. I think you share very transparently, but it's almost in, like you said, it's not like a fuck cancer, push it away. It's more of like embracing the part of life that you are experiencing right now and finding how to move forward with it.
Yeah, exactly. And just to share one more thing on this is like, I read a lot of books at the start that were like, I don't know if you know Louise Hay.
Yeah.
And at first it was like, this is good. And then I realized some of the messaging was like, it turned a bit into blame because it's a little bit like, okay, this comes from a place inside that might be something you haven't forgiven or you're carrying anger or some sort of like emotional trauma that you need to release. And I believe in that. And it's like, again, it kind of gets to be both where it's like, I'm not to blame for this, right? And yes, affirmations are great, but you know, I don't know, like it's a bit of a tricky thing. So yeah, if ever you catch yourself in that world of like, a dis-ease in your body, I think it's worth investigating what sort of anger or, you know, resentment are you carrying so deeply that might be making your body a little bit sick, you know? And I do, like, you hear so many stories of people healing themselves in that way. I read another book by a woman who had a near-death experience. Yeah. And it was exactly that. She was trying to please everyone in her life. And like, that was not the answer. Self-love was. And like, I believe that too. But it's not the only answer, you know?
Well, I think that's so important. You don't want to then take that and blame yourself. Like, I've done something wrong and I'm sick now because of that.
Exactly.
But I think the way you're describing it is, yeah, you want to look at those internally. Our bodies and souls are so connected and the emotions that we carry are so intertwined. But it's not about blaming anyone. We're humans. And part of life is just taking each step as it comes and growing in the ways at the time that we are there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, this is why, like, I like your perspective and sharing on it. It's so, so valuable. And I'm sure you've heard this so many times, but it's just really, I think it's really a testament to the work that you teach and do as well. When you talk about doing the work and how you have been in that for a few years, what are the things that for you have been the most valuable?
I mean, I think because I'm not the best at meditating. I like hired a meditation coach and like that sort of thing, but it didn't like work. Like it didn't stick, you know? And I'm a yoga teacher and I guide little moments of meditation and stuff. But when it comes to the whole like mindfulness yoga component, that has actually been very healing for me. It's that. It's what you do on your mat, obviously, but it truly is what I take and learn on the mat that I bring out into the world. And I think that sense of awareness and like actually living my yoga, you know, where it's like, I just am going to stop for a moment and enjoy whatever is happening right now, or take a moment to breathe. Like literally, I know that sounds cheesy or cliche, but it's like, it's actually those things. And I, again, like it's again coming up or talking about Nat's Soul Detective this month on communication. And really it's about listening, right? And that's such an important piece too, is like taking those moments to stop and be with that person that's talking to you. Those sort of things where you can just be so present. I really think that's like, that's been the biggest sort of like lesson for me over and over again, and enjoying really like the small things, the small moments in life. They're really, really precious.
Oh, I always love hearing people's interpretation of what the work is to be done or their own like approach to it, because it's different for everyone. Okay, can you also tell us about your book? Because I want to know and how you're writing it by energy centered.
Okay, I brought this up at the weekend retreat too, because I talked about mindset. I led a workshop on, it was basically on creating copy, but it started with like, Kate, who are you? What's your voice? You know, like, and then also pushing past those limiting beliefs that like quiet our actual voice. Right. And yeah. I said, I've worked so hard on like smushing the limiting beliefs. They still creep up a little bit here and there. And I'm like, I hear you. I know you're trying to hold me back. Not today. But writing the book is like as if I never practiced this ever. Like it's as if limiting beliefs are brand new to me and are coming in loud and clear just because it's such a big project for me anyways. And I've been reading Rick Rubin's The Creative Act, I think it's so called good. Or something. Yeah. And it's been like my Bible throughout, especially like there was a part on the fact that like, calm down. Like this isn't the be all end all kind of thing. You know, it's like, right. Like, yes, it's in print, which feels very permanent to me. And I already have a hard time. I don't have anything like that's evergreen or whatever, where it's like, you know, record. Right. I have a really hard time with that. I love doing live things. So the book feels a bit tricky with that too. Cause it's like, it's going to be there. Like an Instagram post goes down the feed eventually. Right. But this is like for real. And it really felt like it's like trying to cohesively put together a billion Instagram posts. Like I can write those with such ease. Like it flows out of me. There's creativity, you know, there's inspiration. And then this one was like, where am I going? You know, like what?
How do I start?
And I do have an editor who's helping me. We meet every few weeks and kind of keeps me on track. And it's great because he comes from a bit of he's into the self-development stuff, but not the human design world. So he is really good at inquiring, like, what's the point of you writing about this? And I'm like, I'm like, no, this is important. And sometimes I'm like, you're right, this isn't clear. So let me, you know, adjust that. But it was kind of his idea, I think, at the start of doing like human design centers as the chapters. And I was like, oh, great idea. That'll give me some guidance. Cause I knew I wanted it to be part storytelling, part sharing like the lessons and the stuff, basically stuff that I teach, you know, in my workshops and everything. And then like real life stories of how I lived that or learned that. And so I thought this would be a good guide. And there have been moments where I'm like, oh no, I just waver between explaining human design, like textbook style. I don't want to do too much of that, but I want it to be enough so that people understand, but you wouldn't need to know your human design to read this book and to not feel lost. Right. So that's been a bit tricky, but it ultimately like I'm at the spleen center. I just sent that chapter this morning. So I have the route left to go. And then the conclusion. And so like, it's been about a year now, actually. I can't remember exactly when we started. I want to say about a year. Which it doesn't sound that bad, actually. It feels like it's been dragged out so long.
But when you look back, you're like, oh, I've actually done it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll feel really good, I think. I just wrote about this, but like, it's so important to know why you're doing a thing, no matter what that thing is, right? To know your why, especially in your business, that sort of thing. But each piece of your business too, or each part of your life really. And I kept coming back to this book is meant to be in the hands of people that won't sign up for my program, that won't maybe even listen to my podcast or whatever. It's just meant to be in the hands of people in the safety of their home, comfort of their home, for them to take what they need from it. Like, are they going to learn, you know, is it going to change their life? I don't know, maybe, but at least they can have access to this sort of conversation, you know, in a safe way.
Oh, I like that. I know the why is so big, and when we gloss over that, I find you can have things you really want, but you lose steam partway through if you don't have that deeper reason why. And that's such a beautiful, I like what you're saying. Is so much, for so many people, when they're approaching these moments where they're starting to wake up or are starting to explore like their own self-discovery, you're so vulnerable and you want, and you're not necessarily ready to interact with others or ask for help. And being able to take those steps, like you said, in the safety of your home where you're cozy and it's cocooned. This is such a powerful thing.
Yeah. And I'll just share, because I feel like it's human design related, that like human design, when you start to follow and like you said, experiment with it, it's meant to help you move through life with more ease, right? Like it's meant to feel a little more flowy, less forceful. And I've had to really check myself with this around the book because it's been so hard. I will do literally anything else. I'll write an email to my mailing list. I'll do a post for whatever business. I'll wash the floors. Like anything else feels easier. So I've had to question.
Part of your life is thriving.
Because of this book. Actually, I took a poetry course and I was like, oh, doing this makes the book writing feel easier, actually. So it's all relative. Like, just have something in your corner that's like, no, wait, this is super hard. And it makes that other thing you thought was hard a little bit easier. But it's made me check back in. And my sister was like, you know how when a chef makes a meal and it's made with love and you taste that love? And she was like, do you feel, and she wasn't trying to like be mean or anything, but she was like, do you feel your book will have that? Because I was expressing how hard it's been and like how forced it almost feels, you know? And I was like, there's going to be so much love in this book, like so much, because I keep at it, you know, because it's like, and having to dig super deep to sit in my chair and write. And is it like all the perfect things I'm writing? No, like that's part of like, thank you, Rick Rubin, for reminding me that, you know, there'll be another book anyways. This is just the one that needs to come out now, however it's going to come out.
It is like, just take the first steps, because you never know. Maybe this is like the foundation to help you learn to write the book and help you learn that process. Or maybe this is the book that literally just like takes off and your life could change, but we never know. And we never know what we're getting from an experience, but there's always something.
Exactly.
Oh, I love this. I think this is a really fun lens of what you're creating and sharing. Mm-hmm. And it's cool also just to hear from you as you're in the process and the layers of growth that you're experiencing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So before we finish off, Jamie, this has been so fun to chat with you today. It's just such a fun look at life as an MG, as an entrepreneur, and the things that you've created. For you right now, what are some of the favorite tools and practices that you have going on in your life?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think I continue to invest in myself, and I've taken moments of a break. We talked about this too, you know, of needing that, either that community or that guidance, whether it's through a coach or a mentor or a group program or therapy. And I've definitely taken breaks, but it's something that I keep coming back to. And I think I'm almost getting better at being clear as to who I need that from and around what topic, like what is the place that I just need that little like boost to get to that next level in that area of who I am. So right now I'm in the Tortoisoul membership, which I'm loving. And I, first of all, love the group. I love Nat, and I love the different topics that we have each month. Like, it's all been so on point for me of different areas to work with, even if it's something I didn't think I needed, you know?
They resonate so much. As Jamie's mentioning, like, we're in this group together, the Soul Detective group, which I've talked about in previous episodes, but it is like the topics come up. This month it's about conscious communication. And I'm like, dear God, I would do anything to avoid.
Yes, exactly.
But I need it so much.
It usually is those ones that we do that we need. And then I also invested in a one-on-one coach, which I hadn't done in a very long time, other than maybe one-offs. But I got 6 sessions with this mentor of mine, Mary Beth LaRue, who is also a yoga teacher. She's in Colorado, but I've been following her for like 7 years or so. I just look up to her. Like, I don't know. She's just so authentic. And yeah, so I was so, when she put it out there, she was doing one-on-one. I was like, I don't care what this costs. I want that. And it's been awesome. We had 5 sessions and I want to keep going because she's just also helping me. We talk about a variety of things, but she's helping me get clear on what's next for me too. Because I did put my personal like Jamie Moore yoga and coaching business a little bit on the back burner over the past year with like a bunch of medical appointments and focusing more on the well and that sort of thing. And now I'm like, I feel this fire that I'm like, okay, what is it that I want to like bring back out? Whether it's a group program, which I see coming in the fall, more of these retreats for entrepreneurs or otherwise, you know, I love working with female entrepreneurs, but also just anyone who's looking to just get a little clearer on their next step. So she's helping me like just get clear on myself and how I want to present that.
I think that's so important. And we did talk about on your episode, like coaching and the approach of it, but it is, and I've thought about that conversation so much since, because I think there's moments where when we do feel really clear, where we can just operate and maybe we need like little checkpoints to keep that willpower going or to refine. But in those moments where we don't feel clear, there can be so much value in having an outside like mirror to help you navigate those initial murky waters. And it's not about what someone else thinks you should do. It's really about pulling back those layers of yourself.
Absolutely.
To discover what feels like right.
And I love when like a coach or anyone, a friend even, is like, oh, you should do this, or gives a suggestion, or what about this? And then we, the more we trust ourselves, have that ability to respond, right? And be like, just because you're like, I see you up here a little bit and you're the one I'm paying to like help me. That's when you know, like if you're like, no, like when you kind of oppose that suggestion, that's when you know you're like getting to the core, the root of it, right? Because it's just coming from you, right? So that's what's fun too. Yeah. Not always about going with what the guidance is. It's having that ability to respond to that guidance.
That's so cool. I'm so glad you found these programs. I'm in the process now. I'm like, I want to work with someone, but I'm not sure who it is. And I'm in like the process of trying to search for the right, the right coach or partner or whatever. And it is really cool when you find someone, the right person. It's awesome.
For sure.
Okay. So Jamie, please tell us where people can connect with you and find you online.
Well, as Sarah's mentioned, I love being on Instagram. So it's at Jamie Jessica. And Jamie is spelled J-A-I-M-E. And in French, that's J'aime. So that's what I used to get called in elementary school, which I would get teased for. Now I'm like, that's lovely, you know? But anyways, Jamie Jessica. I also have a website, jamiemoore.com, which it's active, but I am going to be revisiting it shortly to just, you know, like I said, get a little clearer on my offers. Those are the main places.
And that is all in the show notes. Jamie, this has been such a fun episode to have you on, and just, again, like expanding our community from Soul Detective. It's nice to be able to spend this time together and have you on the podcast. So thank you for coming.
Thank you. I so appreciate you. I feel like we could just do this back and forth every week.
I know. It feels so good. Thank you so much for tuning in to Reconnect and Awaken. I hope you found a little something to support you on your own soul journey. If you haven't already, be sure to hit subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would love to know in a review or for you to share it with someone in your life who you think might get value from it too. Your feedback and sharing really helps me grow, especially in the beginning. If you want to dive deeper into any of the topics discussed, I share a lot on my Instagram at sar.murph, sar.murph. And I always love to hear about your own journey, what you're growing through, and if anything shared here today resonated for you. Thank you again so much for listening. I love you, and I will see you soon.